Now, some of you probably got an email, may have seen an email from me on Friday, so you have a little bit of a hunch as to what we're doing this morning. But let me start here in saying that we have a fellowship meal following the service. So I'll just repeat what Jeremy said. You know, if you weren't aware of the fellowship meal or you forgot about it and you didn't bring any food along, that's okay. We're just going to trust that the number of people that brought food are a few more than the number who didn't, and we'll have enough food to get around, okay? But we'd love for you to join us if you're able. Now, for the fellowship meal, Molly and I did not make all the food, okay? We were not the chef for the morning. We did not bring in Paula Deen. Wouldn't that be cool to have a fellowship meal where Paula Deen makes all the food? That would be pretty cool, you know, or Rachel Ray. We didn't do that. Rachel Ray didn't make all the food. Paula Deen didn't make all the food. I didn't make all the food. We didn't hire a caterer. By definition, at least the way we do fellowship meals, is a fellowship meal is comprised of food that is brought by everyone. And I don't know about you, but I love fellowship meals because you have all these different dishes, all these different varieties. You know, people bring their dish that they're known for or whatever, and you have this great variety. The problem with a fellowship meal is you usually can't taste everything. At least I have trouble tasting everything, although I wish I could. But that's what makes the fellowship meal so great is the variety and the diversity. It's not just one dish, it's all these different dishes. So if you read my email, you probably know where I'm going with this. But what I decided to do this morning in this next block of time, this next 30, 40 minutes, whatever, that normally I would be giving a sermon. Or someone would be giving a sermon and sharing something from the scripture. You know, isn't that the normal mode in at least the North American church? When we get together, we worship together, but then this time we call the sermon is basically one chef who prepares a meal. Like, I'll work through the week and I'll be reading and studying and praying and asking God what he wants me to share, and then this time that we call the sermon comes and I get up and I, like, lay out a meal before you, and that's normally how we do it. But this morning, I just felt, no, we're going to take the theme of how a fellowship meal works and we're going to pull it into this time. And the meal we're going to enjoy together now, the spiritual meal, is going to consist of what you've brought along for the meal, okay? That probably makes some of you nervous, and I know not all of you are going to talk and not all of you have to talk. Like I said in my email, I'm trusting either here or over at the fellowship meal, you're going to have opportunity just to talk to someone. Hey, what's God teaching you? What are you learning? So let me give just a little bit of context to the morning, what I was thinking anyway. For those of you who are a part of Living Hope or have been going here for at least several months anyway, are aware that just a little over a month ago, on the 20th of January, we released a team of five couples to plant a church. Now that we were kind of working up to that for a number of months, and then the commissioning day of the 20th came. And so that was a big day for us. It was a day, you know, that we're going to mark that in history. Okay, this was a significant event. We released five couples. Through this process, we've been using a couple words. The one word was the word of sowing. We felt that God was calling us to sow, to release. When you have seeds in your hand, you can't hold them and sow them at the same time. Sow them is releasing them into the ground, releasing them into what you want to be a very fruitful harvest. We've been using the word sowing. We also used that morning the word or the analogy of birthing, giving birth. And the word we've been using a lot is just this word transition, that whereas a congregation, we're kind of in this position, this period of transition now. The leader of the church plant, Pastor Josh, was a pastor here, very significant level of leadership. All the other people on the team to varying degrees were part of our worship ministry. So the first thing we noticed was a real transitional time now for our worship team, which is why we've been blessed to have some other worship teams come and serve us in this transition. So what I'm curious for you to share this morning, at least we'll start in this vein, I guess two questions. What is God teaching you as you've observed the congregation going through this time of transition? We've talked about sowing, we've talked about birthing, we've used the word transition. As you've observed it, what is God teaching you? know, I don't want your analysis of what right or wrong or good or bad or a three-point, you know, critique or whatever. What is God showing you? But probably even more important than that is in your life. I know that in a room with this many people in it, there are a lot of you who would say that God is calling me in a season right now of sowing. Or God has me in a season of birthing, where it's very painful. Remember we used that analogy of how painful birth is? You know, everybody gets all excited about the poor mom that has to go through it, except the poor mom that has to go through it. And she's like, this is the most painful thing I've ever done. So I'm just curious, what is God teaching us and what is God showing us as we go through? So that's kind of the framework. I'll just share a little bit to start, and then we're going to have two mics here, and we just want to hear from you. That's going to be the meal this morning. It'll come from you. Just on this thing of transition, and specifically in the area of worship, on the 27th of January, the Sunday after the commissioning, I stood in front of the congregation and I said, look, you know, we've just released a significant part of our worship team. But we believe that God is saying that we are not to go and find the next great worship leader, but we are supposed to look to the root system that we have in the congregation and to look at the resources we already have to raise up a worship team and a worship leadership structure. I also said that morning, I said, if you play guitar or if you play the keyboard, we'd like to hear from you. Well, when I said that, if you looked at the people that had already been involved in our worship team to that point, we had one keyboard player and we had no guitar players. As I stand before you this morning, 1 month later, wait a minute, I got to get the numbers right, because I'll mess them up. As I stand before you this morning, 1 month later, we have 5 people that are working on playing the keyboard and 4 people that have stepped up in the role of acoustic guitar. Now that's pretty cool, I think. We had a fantastic worship practice Thursday night where we just had a lot of different people here doing a lot of different things. We're still in transition. Sure we are. We're still trying to figure out what it's all going to look like. But let me just give you this other measurement. The month of February, which we are, in terms of Sunday mornings, we're completing today. Every Sunday but one in the month of February, we were blessed to have a team from another congregation to come and help us carry worship along. The month of March, every Sunday but one will be led by a Living Hope worship team. So in 1 month's time, you see what God has done in 1 month's time? So I don't say that just like for the praise of the worship team or that it's all about worship. When I look at that, it's like, that's what God does. You know, that's what he does. That's the way he meets needs. So anyway, let's see. I need to stop talking. Jeremy's going to join me up here. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you this mic. Jeremy's going to cover this side. Now, if you would like to come up front, that's preferable. We can see you a little better that way. But if you would rather just share a testimony from where you are, just raise your hand, and Jeremy will make his way to you if you're on this side. I'm going to take this mic, and I'm going to go over to this side. So again, is there a testimony, is there something you'd want to share this morning about something you've observed in what we're going through as a congregation, or just any one of these themes, sowing, birthing, kind of this expanding, stretching out, and scary things that you'd like to share? So you know what the most important part of the testimony morning is? It's that one person that's willing to go first. Once you get that, there you go, Paul. All right, way to go, Paul. And then we go from there.
Before I say, those of you who don't know me, I'm part of the worship team. I'm part of the elder statesman on the worship team. But I want to say something about this guy before we start, you know. And I know he doesn't want to take any credit, and I know God's got him by the. I just want to thank you. God wants to thank you for what you do, you know, how you allow God to work through you. We are blessed. We really are.
All right.
My testimony is I got an opportunity to be involved in one of the Thursday night get-togethers with the worship team. And as I was sitting there, I was just kind of listening to what was going on. And I emailed Pastor Ron this. God gave me three words that I try to be about, too. Creativity. You know, our God's a very creative God. Look at me. Created me. He had to be creative to make me. All of us, you know, he's such a creative God. Worship team is really looking for creativity, looking for God's creativity in the next step, the next phase of where we're going. The other word was stretching. I heard several members of the worship team saying, you know, I'm willing to try to do this. I'm not comfortable doing this, but I'm willing to let God stretch me, let God give me the strength I need to do what he wants me to do. Stretching is another one. I try to let God stretch me. It's hard. It's really tough. But that's what God's all about. He'll stretch us and he'll give us the strength to stretch. The other word was mentoring. I heard so many people saying, you know, I can help this person, you know, hone their skills, be a better keyboardist or a better guitarist, or, you know what, I'm willing to try acoustics, you know. This is awesome. You know, it's God. It's God. Talking about a great God, we really do have an awesome and great God.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Who goes second? Christopher, come on up. Hey, well, I'll hold it.
I've been reading through the New Testament with a couple guys, and we're in 1 Corinthians, and so we just finished Romans recently, and Romans 12, which is a familiar passage, it came about when we were talking about worship, and I just want to read this and kind of interject my comments, but therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy to pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That verse, and you can check later, you scholars, it says, offer your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice, singular. So as we get together, we are offering as one sacrifice of praise to God. And I just get that picture that, you know, it's not just about that person singing or you're singing out here or whatever, that we're in culmination together, praising God. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, will be transformed. That just kind of struck me in that as I come here in the morning, I need to be pure, I need to be holy, I need to be transformed by the word so that I can offer my sacrifice in a pleasing manner. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For Mary Grace and I, we've been talking about how we can get involved here at Living Hope, and specifically recently worships. And so for that, for me, it was just, how can I figure out what God's will is for our life? Let's see here. Two more things. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I think for me personally, and maybe it's true with you, you can kind of judge yourself or judge other people and say, you know, you're better at me than this, or I'm better at you than this, and that's not what it's about. It's about together. I don't care if you can't sing or you can't really play or whatever, but that we're praising God together, it doesn't really matter, and we're all here to be on our knees at the altar to worship God. And the latter section here is about the spiritual gifts. This section in Romans, it talks about prophecy, it talks about serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, and showing mercy. And I just feel like those things, yes, they are exhibited outside of this building, but they can be exhibited here during the worship session. And somehow, whatever you've brought, and 1 Corinthians also talks about people bringing a hymn and a song and other things, that whatever you've brought for the Lord is by design, that God has gifted you in a certain way. And it's a pleasure to me to have everybody come together and be able to do that, and to encourage one another in whatever God has gifted them to do. And so I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, not to be prepared when we come to worship together, and to come as God has made you, just as Paul was saying, he has made you to be a certain way. and to bring that to the service and just to encourage each other.
Thanks, Christopher. I wanted to say, too, real briefly, one of the challenges I gave you as a congregation was when we went into this transition, I said, in the season ahead, there will be different worship teams here, there will be different worship leaders, and the challenge for us as a congregation will be to decide before we come that God is worthy of worship, and I'm going to worship. It doesn't matter if I know the leader or if I don't, if I've ever heard them before, if I haven't heard them before. And you guys have done good at that. I commend you for that. You've been entering into worship. Now, here's the cool part. The whole month of March, it's probably going to feel about the same way because you'll see someone up here playing guitar. You say, I've never seen them up before. I'm not even sure if I know their name. But that's what God is doing. You know, he's bringing up more people in the body, and he's pushing us away from this dependence on a particular leader or a particular style to what he's doing in the body. Okay.
Okay, Ron was talking before, I was led to a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for this letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. As we have this transition going on here at church, I think that we, as members of the congregation, have to remember that he is not the only minister here. Nobody in that position is the only minister. We are all called to be ministers, to serve God, to serve Jesus Christ, and to realize that it's not of our own effort that we do this, but as it says in this passage, we are made adequate through the Holy Spirit working within us. So, do what God asks you to do, and do it quickly. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I have to say, I really appreciate Brother Mike's expressing. He's not pointing the finger or saying, you didn't do a good enough job, because I feel that way. I get expressive about what God is putting in me, and it's not that you're not good enough. It's just that I'm excited about what he's saying, and I want to put it out there. So I really appreciate that about him.
God is in control. And during this transition, God is in control. And as humans, we want to be in control. We need to just let ourselves go and trust. That sometimes is very, very difficult to do, is to trust God. But life is not about us. We're here to serve God, to worship him. And because God's nature, he is love. He loves us so much, but he wants us to have fellowship with him. And it's that in worship, Ron had the other week gave a list of different things. It's not just always singing, it's bowing down, obedience. And he just wants to lavish his love on us. But we need to trust him and see what God's going to be doing here. And it's going to be awesome, great, mighty.
Thank you.
In the last couple months, it's been... it's easier for me to be on stage singing than it is to speak, so I'm a little, like, all over the place right now, but it's been amazing to see what God's been doing in the last couple months in the worship team, and just the transition that he's brought us into has been seasons of... being really terrifying and also really, really exciting. Just coming to practice and seeing all these new people coming in that necessarily weren't like new to the church, but just new to the worship team, and just seeing the amazing talents and giftings that God has placed in everyone in this body, and just their willingness to serve has been amazing. Just for me, I've kind of always been in a support role, and I've been very comfortable, and that was kind of my comfort zone as far as serving. And it's been a stretching time for me to be able to just, like, I feel like the Lord has called both me and Jay just to step out in a greater way, and how that looks, we're not completely sure how that is going to all come together, but just a lot of times you tend to look at yourself and you're like, well, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have the giftings of this person or that person. And really all God is requiring of us is just to worship him and connect with his heart, and everything else will fall into place. And I just want the churches to be encouraged that he is in control of the situation, and there is an amazing, amazing calling on the people that are even serving now, just in on the worship team. And just, you know, be encouraged. God is moving, and he is working, and he is showing us things, and it's amazing.
Thank you.
Lois and I just got back to this church after a couple of years of serving at another church. And just some observations from my perspective is that there is really a sweet spirit here right now. It's a spirit that's dependent upon God and not on our own talents. Look what we can do. And I just sense that the whole church is moving together as a body, waiting on God, and basking in God's presence, and just it's kind of a surprise. It's God shows up, and you're where'd that happen? What happened there? And it's a neat thing, because too often we think, well, that person's going to do that, and that person's going to do that, and now God is drawing on our giftedness. We're all gifted by God, and it's really neat for Lois and I had observed some dynamics going on, because, you know, like I say, we were away for a couple years, came back, and there's just kind of like the church is going with God, you know, step by step, and God will never disappoint us, and he is faithful. A quick personal story. Lois and I were supposed to be someplace recently. We came back on the day of the commissioning. That was our first Sunday back. And I thought, wow. Anyway, and not long after that, we were sitting at home, and we should have been someplace. And my wife said, can I do the whole point is listen to God. It's very important to listen to God. My wife said, well, I really should do the dishes before we go. And I said, go ahead, you know, well, I'll just sit on the couch and be. And then the phone rang. And I thought, oh, no. And she said, it's for you. And the person on the other line was a Spanish person from the church where we were at, and said, Pastor Greg, I have something to share with you. He said, there's a lot of people that go to church, and they don't know God. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. And he said, I know that. And then he continued to share with me, and he said, when I pray, it's just like darkness. There's nothing there. Nothing at all. And he said, I'd like to be like other people. I'd like to know Jesus like other people know Jesus. And I was on the phone, and he was, 80 miles away. And then I said, well, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? He said, yes. So I said, well, I will lead you in prayer, and you just pray after me. I don't know Spanish, so I led in English, and he knows enough English. He prayed after me. He received Jesus. And then I encouraged the people at the church, and now they're discipling him. So we come back to discipling. So it was just amazing. I mean, I've never done that before on the phone. So pray for us. Next Sunday, we're going to be up at the church, and I'll check up on him and see what's going on. But God will always use us, not necessarily at church, but throughout the week when we least expect it.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Greg.
Ron sent me an email the other day, and if I would be willing to share, or at least to consider it. Many of you know, last July I quit my job and I started going back to school to be a funeral director. And history behind that was, that's something I've always kind of had an interest in since I was in eighth grade. funeral director came to a career day we had at school, and I just thought, well, this guy's pretty cool. I knew the family because they were in our hometown, and then Rick Reed here told me, he says, you know, you've been talking about that since I first met you. That was in 1998. So I guess, you know, it's been going on for a while. So, you know, time, you know, things went on. I quit my job. I was just trying to, I knew that was the first step. And that's one thing I learned, that when you step out like that, like you know, I'm the type of person, like I like to know all the steps. Well, you don't always get all the steps. And but somebody encouraged me. He says, well, as you take a step, the Lord will show you what the next step is. And that's true. I did learn that. So I went on. I enrolled in school. I waited till like 4 days before school started. I finally enrolled in school, and they were more than willing to take my money and enroll me in school. And it went, you know, it went okay. It was hard getting started at first. You know, the older you get, you're not as sharp as you used to be. But it comes back. I needed a part-time job. So I thought, well, if I'm going to be a funeral director, I should get a job at a funeral home. And that's hard to do, because a lot of times you need to know somebody. And so I tried everything I could. And then I just thought, I pulled out my last trump card, and I called Ron. I said, Ron, I know you know this certain guy. I said, can you put a good word in for me if you're willing? I said, maybe you think I'm a bonehead. You know, I don't know. But if you're willing, if you could, I'd appreciate it. And he did, and they started getting me to, I started doing work there, parking cars and doing other things. And since then, it was slow for the first few months, and now I'm really busy there, actually. So that's gone real well. I learned a lot. There's a lot of good people there. It's kind of things you can't learn by reading out of a book. But I just wanted to share a few things that I've learned. I was reading this morning in Luke 17, and this kind of jumped out to me. And now as I get older, I just noticed this. Like, I'm trying to sit in here and read, and I have a red letter Bible, and I say it jumped out at me. Well, that is true, but it's because it's like all in black and everything else around it's red. But Jesus is talking about, you know, talking about things that cause people to sin, and if you cause someone, little one, to sin, it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the water. And he just talks about if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. He says all this, and the disciples say, or the apostles said to the Lord, he said, increase our faith. And that's just like, wow, increase our faith. And Jesus says something that's interesting. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So one thing we always think of is like, I need to have this incredible faith. You know, I need to be like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or somebody like that. And that's not what he said. What he said was, he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you're good to go. That's not a whole lot, because a mustard seed's really, really small. And one thing you deal with is fear. And that's the thing, you know, that you need to get to the point, and this is where I got to the point. It's like, do I really believe what the Lord says? And I got to that point, and it's just like, well, you know, just the fear, well, you know, what if I run out of money, or if I go bankrupt, or if I, you know, and then the people that are always trying to encourage you by saying, well, what are you going to do for health insurance if you get sick? I'm like, well, no, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head, you know, and, you know, there's some, you know, in reality, you don't really, there's a lot of things you really don't have control over, and just, I'm just being honest. There's, you know, there's things you could wake up in the morning and encounter things that you never even dreamed of. That's why we need to have our faith in the Lord. And I just got this point. Do I really believe what the Lord said? And a man said to me, you know, like, you look at the disciples, and they're thinking, well, increase our faith. And he says, well, no, you just need faith as a mustard seed. But see, their problem was they had an unbelief problem. They didn't have a faith problem. They had an unbelief problem. And, you know, if you believe in the Lord that, you know, he saved you, he gives you salvation, you'll go to heaven, he can help you forgive. It's all one big package. You know, when he says he'll take care of your needs, he really means that. You know, and the other thing is, and I just want to be careful to say that, you know, having a faith and believing in the Lord comes from knowing the Lord. And you know the Lord through reading scripture, through praying, through spending time with him, through worshiping him. You learn all these things about the Lord, you know, and you get to learn what he's like. And then, you know, the Lord does speak to you. I mean, I think he speaks to us all differently. That's my own opinion. But God does desire to speak to us. And if you ask him, I believe he'll show you things. I just want to be careful to say that, you know, we, like Ron said the other week, we worship in spirit and in truth. And as you get to know the Lord and what he says to you, I don't want to tell you to go out and do something because it's one of my convictions. I think you need to develop your own convictions because then you'll have the faith to do what you feel convicted to do. Some other things I just wanted to say is, some other things I've learned is, don't try to rationalize things. I've said this to people many times. Like you say, well, gosh, if I do this, then that'll happen. Or if I do this or that'll happen. Or, boy, I just put $2,000 into that car and I should just sell it and get $1,000 for it. Well, if that's what the Lord wants you to do, just do it. I mean, that sounds simple and it's not that simple. But, the Lord, I think, as you go through this process, and I was just telling Ron this morning, it's like, you know, Lord, I feel Lord called me to do this. I've gotten into it, blah, blah, blah. Life's not all rosy. Life's not perfect. I still have struggles. I still have, I still have things to battle through. And Jay Pfeiffer told me, I was sharing all this with him. He said, you know, Frank, you're doing the right thing, but it's not going to be easy. That has really helped me a lot through getting through a lot of this. I just want to say, too, that when you... if you feel called to something, like the Lord speaking you to do something, there's something about fulfilling your calling and that, like when, like I'm taking business courses right now, one thing you always run into in business management is this word synergy. And if you look at the word synergy, it looks like sin and energy. And you kind of think out of it as like if you have two teenage guys and you give them, yeah, no, I'm sorry, let me try to say it this way. If you have one teenage guy and you give him a Porsche, that's one thing. If you have one teenage guy in a Porsche goes and picks up his teenage buddy, that's another thing. And that's what I call, like, that's what gives sin energy. That's when you go fast. That's when you do daredevil things. Or if you have two young boys that get together and they're both kind of ornery and they disappear and you don't know where they went, you know, they kind of, that's when they push it. But synergy defined is when the sum of two things is greater than the product. When you add two things together is greater than the two things themselves. And that's what happens when you fulfill your calling. The Lord just somehow supernaturally gives you energy, passion. It's a lot of things happen. And it's amazing to see. And if you ever see somebody truly loves what they do or they walk out their calling, it'll be real evident to you. I just wanted to say a thanks to Living Hope Community Church here. As I started in my job, a lot of times we needed to rent a facility, and I'm not going to say what the name of this other facility was. It was another church in the area, but very nice people. But you know, I was getting crunched going through doorways, and parking was horrible, and so I approached Ron and said, "Well, can we rent your facility here? You know, rent a church," and church that worked out. And everybody I work with, when we come here, we're really blessed to be here. We have no steps. You have nice bathrooms. The doorways are wide. You can eat in and out. And really blessed, you know, and Ron's spoken at a few services, and the people have really been blessed, I believe, by using this facility. We did a service here at the end of that day. It was snowy. It was a Monday at the end of January. And I think we had every space in the parking lot full. I didn't have to double park anybody, but it was close. I filled them up all the way back here to the dumpster on the other side of the gym. It just, you know, it was a real blessing here. So I thank you for that. And So I thank everybody who always asks how I'm doing. I really appreciate that. And just keep us in your prayers.
Thanks for sharing, Frank. That reminded me of, I know several times along the way, I said when God, a sure sign that God is in something is two things come up, fear and excitement. It's exciting and it's scary. That's almost, it's just a trademark of God. When he's stretching you in something, it's going to be exciting and it's going to be brief. Okay, who else?
Can I share, Pastor?
Yes, go ahead. You had something to share.
I have two things I wanted to share, and I just want to share about the transition and how the worship team is stretching me, and also just some of the things that God is showing me that I wish I could be more like these individuals. Last couple Sundays I've been doing pastor's assistant. You all know I usually transition into prayer through song and then into the announcements. However, I've been seeing, and I'm not name calling, but I just want to kind of put out there in a humorous way. I've been seeing the crybabies in the church. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not a crybaby. Like, I'm not a weeper. And the Bible, I was just looking here because I wanted to be scripturally founded in what I'm saying. In Revelations, it talks about where he will wipe every tear from your eye. But I looked at the scripture a little more closely, and it says, the Lamb who sits in the center of the throne will wipe every tear from your eye. So when I've been worshiping, and just today when I was worshiping, I see people in our congregation who are afraid to cry because crying is like, it's messy. It's not something that is everyone's proud of doing, or you know, it shows a place of vulnerability or weakness or whatever, however people want to interpret it. But when you worship God and you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, if you're a crybaby, cry, baby, cry. Because God is sitting in the center of the throne and he wants to wipe every tear from your eye. And this is the place where we are building a throne with our praises for God to take seat and abide with us. But then in songs, it talks about he will restore every tear back to you with songs of joy. That's awesome. And then I was thinking, I felt comfortable because my wife and son are going to join me up here. And when we were up here this morning praying, Katrina and I didn't even think about this. Katrina brought it to my attention. We were up here praying this morning, and I know when Katrina and I are together, because you probably wouldn't believe that, we're like opposites, you know? I'm black, she's white. I run and shout and dance, she cries. But when we're in prayer time together, I know when we have both entered into the presence of God, not because I see her crying, because I feel her tears. And that to me is like, all the kids are gone, right? It's like, it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, it's like,
I know what you're going to say next.
Yeah. Because just to feel her tears fall makes me want to press into the throne of God even more, because I'm like, we're there. We are in the presence of God. My wife has entered into that vulnerable place with me as we're seeking God. And it's all right. You don't have to be a Jeremy. You don't have to be a praise leader like Katrina or Gloria and be able to sing every tear. If posturing yourself before God is tears, I admonish you, I exhort you, I encourage you, cry, baby, cry. Because it's okay. But the other thing, when me and Katrina were praying this morning, we were actually interceding for other people and just asking God to help us to feel more comfortable through this transition process and how he's stretching us through this. And Katrina said to me, she says, Jeremy, can you pray for Jacob? And I have to be honest, I said to her, no, I can't pray for Jacob. But I'm asking you all to pray for Jacob in us because we're going to surgery on Wednesday. And I never had to give my child to surgeon. We did it with Abigail because she had to give her tonsils taken out. But Abigail was a normal child. Abigail was ready to go. She waved by as she was going down the off in the gurney. And we were young and naive and ignorant, too. We just was young parents and said, okay, that's what the doctor said, do. But after you see the results of that the first time in the healing process, it's hard to relinquish a second child to that. But then, as we were going through this process, we found out that Jacob has a blood disorder. And there's two surgeries for kids that are very bloody. Circumcision for males and the tonsils. Well, Jacob has, we found out, he has von Willebrand's disease. And he has, his tonsils have enlarged to the size of golf balls in the back of his throat. But you all looking at us probably wouldn't know that about Jacob because he doesn't worry about it. He's not sick in his mind, but we know he's sick. But through this process, when we went to have the surgery done a year and a half ago, that's when we found out that he had this disorder with blood clotting. So they put us through another gauntlet. We had to establish new relationships with new surgeons. We don't know these surgeons. We don't know anything about these people up in Hershey. And we, this Wednesday, have to go and relinquish Jacob to the hands of God to take care of him. And you say one thing when you stand up here and you are commissioned as a parent, I give my child to you. But it's another thing when you have to give your child to God. So we're standing today to say, not only in this transition is God stretching us, but strength will rise. And I declare that strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. And God is great. I say that because I know God is great. And I believe that God is great and able to heal my son. But I say also, God, help thou my unbelief. So I pray that you pray with us this morning that God would help our unbelief, that we can stand on the promises of God. And God, look at that. He is so not concerned about this, but we are. So just pray that we can be more like Jacob, I guess.
What day? What day again? What day? Wednesday. Okay. All right. I want to pray for you guys now. Just stretch out your hands this way, if you would. Father, thank you for Jeremy and Katrina. Lord, for all that you're doing, all you've been doing in their lives, and just for the way that they love you and serve you. God, so we stand with them now as parents. Lord, I pray for Jacob this morning, just for this thing coming up this week. God, first, I just pray, Lord, for his throat. Lord God, I would ask for your healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, what a testimony, Lord, for you to touch this young man before the surgeons need to. So God, we ask that you would touch him in the name of Jesus. Lord, regarding this blood disorder, God, we speak healing to that as well in the name of Jesus. I know that's a concern in terms of not clotting and just too much blood and all of that. And God, you know that you've designed the bodies. We pray for that as well. And lift this family up to you. God, give them grace for every step that you ordain for them. And just remind them of your love. Encourage them today, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else yet? Maybe one more or so. Okay. Two more. Okay.
All right. Yeah, sure. Why not? You bring it to me. No. I feel like I'm just supposed to sit down. I feel like I'm just supposed to share a story from my work that just, I think, just proclaims the glory and the greatness and the power of God. I work as an EMT on the ambulance, and about 2 days ago, we got dispatched out for a call. I'm going to, like, try to go over, I'm not going to do all the details. It was for, like, an emotional psychiatric problem for somebody who dispatched for his attempted suicide. We had a young man that slit his wrist and was struggling with some stuff, and we got there, and I just looked at him, and he was very unstable personality-wise. Let's just say that the world diagnosed him with being bipolar, you know, schizophrenia, all that kind of stuff, split personalities and stuff. And to make a long story short, the police were involved. We got him in the ambulance, and we're in the ambulance, and I could tell he was very unstable. And I got in a situation. I'm in the back with he was a pretty built guy, in the back of an ambulance with a guy that switched personalities on me and became a situation that could have been potentially dangerous for me, where I could have easily gotten in a tussle, which I didn't want, with this guy. And me looking at it from a spiritual aspect, there was so many spiritual things going on. The guy was into some very satanic thing. He was a Satanist. And there was a lot of demonic things going on with him. And I just, as soon as I was back in him, I just started praying, and I thank God that my partner was also knew the Lord and was a Christian, which was a total blessing to me, which not all my partners are. And she was praying in the front of the ambulance, driving as fast as she could, and I'm in the back of the ambulance with this guy, and he started taking off his seatbelts and stuff like this, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, no, you know. And I'm scared I'm going to get in a tussle with somebody. I don't want that to happen. He's a little bit bigger than me. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I just felt the power of the Lord so powerful. Like, I felt the army of God come behind me. And I just felt like angels were drawing their swords. And I just started speaking to those demonic spirits. I said, you sit in that seat in that litter, and you may not stand up. In the name of Jesus. And no matter what, I mean, he ended up sitting up and hitting on the back of the windshield, but he never stood up. God sat him in that seat, and he never stood up. And the power of God was with me, and I could just feel it. And he started doing some chanting stuff with some satanic stuff, with just trying to, I knew the spirits inside him were trying to, I don't know, they were trying to mess with me, they were trying to this stuff, and I just sat there. And the only thing I ended up being afraid was, like, the fear just left me. And the only thing I ended up being, like, a little bit concerned about is that I'd get in a tussle with him. I mean, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want me and him. But he's trying to... I just wasn't afraid. Like, I just felt like I wanted to say, and I didn't say it because I didn't want to poke a sleeping bear, but... I just felt like I wanted to say, after he was done all with his chanting and these demonic stuff, I just wanted to say, like sit over, and it's like, really? Like, that's it? Like that was it? Like, dude, you need to get a new master. This stuff sucks. Like, this is a joke. Like, and I just, oh my gosh, the power of God was so powerful. He sat in the seat the whole time. We got him to the hospital safely. And I just, it was just an amazing experience to see the greatness, the power, and the awesomeness of God, that when we go out, God is just, God has our back. Like, he's, wow. And I'm just excited going forward, and God's teaching me in this, that if I ever get a situation like that, that I can just walk in that, that I can walk in that, that I'm able to even say something to him, to walk in the power of God, that we can stand up against anything because he's got our back, and he's, and that stuff has nothing. Like, I mean, it seems so powerful to somebody. It's like a bug. Like, it's like, whatever. So I just felt like I was supposed to share that, just the greatness of God.
All right. Before you start, Andy, can I get you and the team to come up? We're gonna end on Jeremy's favorite song, but go ahead, Gloria.
Okay. Katrina's absolutely right. It takes one type of personality to be able to sing, and that's easy, but we're not speakers, and it's a little difficult. I love this family, this Living Hope Community Church, your family. You are my family. I come in here, and I have my brothers and my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my mothers, my fathers, and everybody fills that gap. And when we first came to Living Hope 3 years ago, the first thing that we walked into was this worship team, this pure, pure worship. Singing, I finally found where I belong, and we truly made it our home. And I am just so privileged to come to a church that preaches in spirit and in truth. And there are so many churches out there who are offering the big deals and the big activities, but they're not following through with that spirit and truth, and they're only going skin deep, not going down. And I think a lot of the reason why we encounter God here is because we have a very obedient leadership, and that speaks volumes, because when your leadership is walking in harmony and in truth with the Holy Spirit and what God's will is, your people are going to benefit. And from the moment we got here, it was the real deal. I didn't feel like anything had to be faked or pumped up or embellished. And so even the worship here, to be a part of the team, is a privilege. And I never really... It's kind of funny, a lot of people know I love to joke, I love to talk, I love to share. When I was a little girl, I was extremely bashful. I could not come out behind my mother's legs. And one day, the Lord said to me, "You're going to sing." I said, "Oh, no, I don't think so." And it happened. And to be able to share that gift is such an honor. And I just want to say right now, I want to encourage those who feel that you have a gift, but you're afraid to use it, that fear is from the enemy. It is not of God. He has given us a spirit of a sound mind. And if you feel as though you have a calling to come out to this team, or whether it's to serve in another capacity in the church, don't let fear stop you. Do not let the enemy stop you. Come out and be a part. Be obedient, because not only will you be able to serve, your obedience, he will equip you. He will bring the keyboards. He will keyboard us. He'll bring the guitarists. And he will give you the gift that you deserve. Because if you're doing it with a pure heart and glorifying him, it'll be perfect. And you won't have to fear. So I just encourage you, step out. See what God will do.
Thanks, Gloria. As we close now this morning, we're going to go back to this song, "How Great Is Our God." What I'd like to do is just simply give an invitation. Again, in a group this size, I know there are those of you here who you've heard the testimonies this morning of how God has provided and how God has moved and how God has made cool things happen. But I'm sure there are some of you that you're in the painful part right now. You're saying, "I think God is leading me into something," or "I think God is doing something, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel like it's working right now. It feels like the obstacles are bigger than the opportunities," and just, you know, whatever. So as we go back into the song, "How Great Is Our God," I'm going to invite you to just stand and come on up front, just as a declaration, just in your spirit, that God is a great God and that he is going to provide what you need. It might not be according to your timetable, but just declare again this morning that God is a great God. God is working in your life. He has a plan. Things that happen to you are not random. When you're submitted to him, the things that are happening are part of his timing and his plan. So go ahead, team, take us back into this, and I invite you to just come on up and stand up here, declare that to the Lord this morning, and then I'm going to pray over you at the end. So go ahead, team.
The splendor of the King, robed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. Say, 'Cause our God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are a great God. You are a great God. Great God. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Father, as you see these precious sons and daughters standing before you this morning, Lord, I don't know all of their stories, and I'm not sure what they're all facing. But God, we declare this morning, and I stand with them declaring that you are a great God. God, I pray that you would just lift their spirits today and refresh and renew their confidence in you this morning. That you are not a God of randomness or chaos, but you are a God who works in the lives of your people according to your plans, your purposes, and in your timing. So Lord, I pray that you would encourage each of these dear brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of yours, today in your provision, in your faithfulness, and in your plans and purposes, God. Bless them today. Encourage them today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you would like someone to pray with you specifically for a situation, just linger up here and we'll be happy to do that. Otherwise, for those of you who are able to stay, you can make your way around to the gymnasium for the fellowship meal. I understand they'll have a prayer over there for the meal. So if you're going over, we would invite you to do that now so they can begin. But again, if there's any way we can pray for you, stick around here. God bless you. Thanks again to the team this morning. And have a wonderful day. God bless you.